You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. All right, welcome back. We are live. Minor Talk is here. We're presented by Jack in the Box. Along with Sal Montes, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We're also brought to you in part by the Oscar Arrieta Allstate Agency, the District Pub and Kitchen West, 3233 North Mesa, Wind Supply El Paso, New Start Homes, and Classic Elegance Coaches. I'm Adrian Broaddus. He's Sal Montes. It's just us today. Alberto Retta is covering UTEP women's basketball on the ESPN Plus broadcast, and then Zay is out at Club Memorial, where it's the Battle of I-10. In volleyball right now. This is a tie game so far, 1-1, after New Mexico State took the second set. Very competitive out there in the Conference USA Championships, but we are starting things off talking about football. Tennessee destroyed UTEP 56-0. Sal, it feels like 3 hours ago this game was competitive. It was a long game, I guess. At some points in this game, the Miners had a chance. Well, really, in that first quarter, That's where the Miners played competitive. And then they just got killed. It was just they never really looked back. And that is the 7th-ranked team, or the 11th-ranked team, I should say, in Tennessee. Never looked back from the second half all the way throughout the rest of the game. And 56-0, that's the finish.
Yeah, you're an SEC country, right? If you could do solid for at least 10 minutes, I don't want to say it's a win. Obviously, you don't even score a point in this game. But you feel a little bit better knowing that there's a little bit you could take away from it. But at the end of the day, Cole said it best, just too big, too fast, too strong. That's just the way it is over there. And not only that, but that's a team who's playing for something. And it kind of reminded me like when the cup qualifiers are going on in soccer and points matter. So some teams are trying to run it up with an extra goal here, an extra goal there. That's exactly what Tennessee was doing, because points matter when it comes to playoff seating in the inauguration, right, this year of the 12-team playoffs. So they had to run it up. However, even if they didn't have to, they're so good. They were going to do that regardless. That's just the power that they are. And they got an extra push with Ole Miss losing to Florida. So everything right. Wasn't working for the Miners after that first quarter. No way.
No way. And I like the defensive effort in the first quarter. I mean, holding Tennessee scoreless, that felt impressive. I mean, that first quarter, there were good takeaways to pull from it if you're looking at it from a UTEP perspective. Holding Tennessee to just 37 yards of total offense. They were 1 of 4 on third down plays. That was the defense really stepping up. But on the offensive side, it's been what it's been the entire season, Sal. And that's just the reality. This team just can't, when they're on offense, and even when things are humming offensively, it really hurts this team when you just see how they can't score. It just red zone inefficiencies. It feels like even when they cross into enemy territory, they have inefficiencies as well. And for the Miners in this one, just standing no chance. And we didn't expect them to stand a chance. I think that people thought that, they could have been a good game. Maybe in that first quarter or after the end of the first quarter, people were thinking, could have gotten close. Those gamblers out there were hoping UTEP would cover. It was 41 points, I think, or 42 points, whatever. And Tennessee, they overpowered the Miners. There was no chance that UTEP was even going to get a score on the board. So we're going to keep our Minor Talk short here on the program. If you want to weigh in, 915-505-6009. We're also going to head out to Zay. He is out at Club Memorial. It is Conference USA semifinal action as UTEP's taking on New Mexico State, a very competitive volleyball game right now. Zay, welcome back. What's going on at Memorial?
Yeah, thanks, guys. It's set 3 here at Club Memorial, and we have a fun one in the Conference USA semifinals right now. UTEP and New Mexico State both won set 1. UTEP took set 1 25-22. That was behind a really, really good outing from Kaya Weaver. However, NMSU was absolutely dominant in the second set. They won 25-16. They stifled the Miners, had them hitting under 12%. So a really, really good set from the Aggies. And now, right now, the Miners have absolutely come back in set 3. They're on a 7-1 run to start this game. They're up 7-1. And it just looks like a whole new energized UTEP team after, a rough set 2. So right now, once again, UTEP up 7-1 in set 3. both teams a set apiece each.
Nice. Zay, tell me this one right here. How is the crowd right now? You were posting earlier today that you weren't impressed with the crowd. Has it filled up ever since that you posted that one right there?
You know, there's been a good amount of people come in, but definitely not what I expected, at least for a game like this. You know, there's still a lot of open seats on both sides, and just overall, it's very disappointing, you know, especially considering that in the regular season, this game was absolutely packed out, right? It was almost sold out for both matches here at Club Memorial versus now, you know, it's the Conference USA semifinals. I expected a little bit more.
I expected more too, man. But, you know, for the Miners, starting off this third set in a positive way, 7-2 start, that's their advantage in the third set, trying to avenge that second set where they lost to New Mexico State. Zay, how do you see this one when it's all said and done? Who do you think takes this one here to win and advance to the championship?
You know, it'll be very, very close. UTEP, you know, they both have shown signs of life throughout this one. A momentum game. You know, NMSU has a good contingency of fans here, so you know, every time they score, they get some momentum on their side, versus of course UTEP, every time they score, you know, it just feels like when it comes in droves for both teams, right? They're going to go, it's a game of runs, and just considering that it's at Club Memorial, that UTEP has faced adversity and beaten it before, you know, I'm going to take the Miners in this one, but you never know, right? It goes to set five, possibly the Aggies could make a really big statement and take it.
Hey, Zay, New Mexico State defeated Middle Tennessee 36-21 today on the road. UTEP loses in football 56-0. Your thoughts, early thoughts, Battle of I-10 next week in football as we get and we let you go back to coverage of Battle of I-10 in volleyball here.
Well, you know, no matter what sport, you know, the Battle of I-10, you always throw out, you know, records. So it'll be a close one. You know, UTEP struggling in Tennessee, NMSU dominating in Tennessee, obviously two different teams. But I just want it to be a really good, fun game, you know, just what we're used to seeing out of the Battle of I-10.
All right, we'll see you there, Zay. We appreciate the coverage of the UTEP volleyball team. Follow UTEP Zay on Twitter and X for the coverage throughout the rest of the game. And Zay, we appreciate it again. We'll follow you for coverage of UTEP New Mexico State here in this third set.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Zay Galindo, who's joining us here on the hotline. As we continue, Sal, volleyball team have a chance to do something historic today. It's only fitting we talk a little bit more about them here to lead the show after a disappointing end for football.
Yeah, and of course, right? And this is a team who's been the volleyball team, of course. They've been, you know, kind of – you've seen that trajectory over the last couple of years. You've seen them go from basically a doormat to competitive under Coach Wallace in that year one. Year two, not being just competitive, winning some of those games, start to see that progression year in and year out. And now they're at a point where they can be that perennial conference power. I was going to say Conference USA, but in a couple years, you know, they're out in the Mountain West. However, you want to see them be atop the likes of Western Kentucky, who's been dogs since,
right.
I can't remember the last time they had a bad team. They were so good even when Keith Adams was here the first time, if we want to kind of date it back. And I know that's basketball, but just to give you all an idea. So this is a team who's a power, and I know that UTEP's not playing them today. They still got to get past the Aggies, but it has to be said, Adrian, if you want to be the top dogs in the conference, you got to knock them off. And I can't remember the last time they beat Western Kentucky as well. So they still got to get past a team who was tough when they were in the WAC as well, that being New Mexico State. So it's a rivalry game. It's all on the line tonight or this afternoon, but you do want to see them win this one. And of course, win the next one to stamp yourself as the top team in Conference USA. No flukes. You don't want to be one of the tops. Be the top. They're that good.
They have so much talent. And it feels like CUSA title or bust for this team. That's the expectations they've set on themselves. And I think that's a good thing when they've elevated standards that way. Miners are on a 3-0 scoring run in volleyball. They're up 12-5 here in the third set. So let's see if they can win this one and go up ahead against New Mexico State. They're currently 1-1 here in the third set. So over to more tweets and more thoughts coming in. Then we'll take a timeout, and then we'll wind it up with some final thoughts here on the program. Figure today will be a shorter show here, a Minor Talk, and we'll go extended next week for Minor Talk for the Battle of I-10 and the season conclusion here for football. A couple tweets to get to. Victor Hernandez, the UTEP punter is bleeping terrible. Seriously, is there not anyone who could punt the ball better? I know I can, and the coach kicking a 50-yard field goal that fell 10 yards short. Sal, they surprisingly switched in specialists tonight, or today, I should say. Today, they flipped over to Joe Bowman, and credit Tom Bowman, who had been emailing me for the past couple months, saying, hey, when is Joe going to get a chance? Well, he got a chance today, and I don't want to, be too negative about him. It was just his first game out of Rocky Top, Sal. But still,
of all places, huh?
I know, right? But he had kicking duties and punting duties. It was just an interesting call for me. And I actually blame the coaching staff a little bit more for special teams than I do players. At this point, Sal, special teams has just become a liability. It was the bad punts that led to really good returns for Tennessee that helped them score in that second quarter or whatever. I mean, it was the missed field goals that happened, whether it's Buzz Flabiano or Bowman's missed field goal. I just special teams is the worst part of this team. It's not even close.
Yeah, sometimes it's a three-part process. One is you got to get the snap down. Two, you got to get the kickoff, referring to punting. And three,
exactly.
you got to be able to cover it. They can't even get to number three sometimes. You know, it's rare that they get past number one, which is a challenge in itself. But all in all, Adrian, I don't fault them for putting Bowman out and Bowman having the performance that he did tonight. It is at Rocky Top, the toughest place they're going to play. If we kind of look down the schedule, it might be the toughest place out of however many places they've played at that were tough. But aside from that, I don't know if he was trying to switch it up, saying, hey, you lost the job. It's near the end of the season. Give guys as much run as you possibly can. And we got to see that with a lot of different positions as well. So that's number one. But the second part, though, I like how they do that little pooch punt with Locklear, and we hope he's okay. But with the quarterback, let's say
right.
that, with whoever's quarterback, just line up, try to draw off sides. If not, just do that pooch punt out to the side. That's been working for you as little as we've seen it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. 915-505-6009. I truly believe that they should go with the pooch punt with Skylar Locklear, even if they're backed up in their own end zone, Sal. I truly believe that's the best option right now. The punting position is just a mess right now. They're going to need to solve that in the offseason. As far as the kicking position, I think the confidence level with Buzz is just at an all-time low. That worries me going into the Battle of I-10 next week, special teams. I mean, offense, what do we really take away? They haven't scored a lot of points all season long. Defense, they showed up in the first quarter, and you can give them a lot of credit, and that, I think, will travel into Las Cruces next week for the Battle of I-10. But the biggest concern for me is special teams. Like, if that game is close, if that game is 50-50, and you're just talking about UTEP on paper and special teams, that almost gives New Mexico State a 7-point advantage. In my eyes. So next week, looking ahead to that Battle of I-10, they've won three games. UTEP's won two, and the Aggies will go into that one looking to feast on some of those mistakes that UTEP has in special teams.
Yeah, and the tough part is there's those three sides of the ball, right? Offense, defense, special teams. Offense, it's hard to really count on them to score, and that's the side of the ball that's supposed to score. Special teams, half and half. You cover it, or you catch it and try to return it. So you still don't feel too good about either one, considering some of the miscues that they've had on returns, whether it be kick or punt returns. Now, when it comes to punts, we don't got to go much further than that. You feel best about defense, but defense is not designed to score the ball. They're designed to stop, and they do that at a high rate, in just about all of their games or majority of their games. Today's kind of a wash. I mean,
yeah.
You do feel good about the defense. It's just, If it's the final drive of a game and UTEP's on defense, I feel way better about that than if they're on offense.
Hey, this is coming from Augustine. Should football have a mercy rule? Today it felt like UTEP should have gotten the mercy rule at some points. Minetto chimed in by saying, I thought the score would have been 70-0. UTEP did a lot better than I thought. sad UTEP fan. He has only sucked in the red zone all season. And will UTEP change? Of course not. Same thing as the Dimmel era. Just now we suck at a faster pace. Ugh, man. This is coming in from Manny David. Not sure anyone was expecting a UTEP win. First quarter was good. I think the end result was what most of us expected. Time to get ready for next weekend's Battle of I-10. Hashtag Miner Talk. Totally agree with that. Yeah, no one expected a win whatsoever. I think fans got excited when it was a close game early on in this matchup. And then when it was all said and done, it was just, you know, Tennessee just overpowering UTEP. There's no chance in my eyes that this one would have been close when it was all said and done. Skylar Locklear, the injury to him is a concern to me. 10 of 19 through the air today, 50 passing yards, an interception, 53 completion rating. He had 8 rushes for 37 yards, and that was it for Skylar Locklear in this one. It looked like in the first quarter he was really moving around the pocket, but then when Tennessee started to get to him, it started to hurt him and affect him. And, you know, the shot that he took against La Tech, that was tough. That was a concussion. This time around, the broadcast speculated it could have been a shoulder, not confirmed with Skylar Locklear out of this injury. He went out in the second quarter. J.P. Pickles went in to close out the first half. Then Locklear came out first drive of the third quarter, but he was quickly taken out right after that drive. And then Pickles finished out the rest of the game, Sal. Pickles, by the way, can play one more game, coincidentally enough, next week against the New Mexico State Aggies in the Battle of I-10 and not burn his eligibility year. And then no Shea Smith today. So that tells you that they're probably preserving his eligibility.
Yeah, no Shea Smith today, and I doubt there's Shea Smith next week.
I agree.
As it should be. You want to preserve as much eligibility for your guys as possible. In the same way, we're talking about Smith. You just said it right now with Pickles as well. I don't know if it's by design in terms of game selection, but definitely games available, if that makes any sense. It's a piece of a puzzle. Just put it wherever it's going to fit, and as long as it fits within 4 games throughout the year. So who knows who else we'll see?
True.
You know, not just quarterback wise, whether it comes to line play. I know there's been a lot of injuries on the offensive line. We got to see some more action for some guys, but definitely interesting to see who's going to get some run before the final seconds in next week's game.
Yeah, you mentioned offensive line. There was no in this matchup right here, no Ivan Escobar, the Montwood graduate. He was out of this game due to an injury. Joseph Immediato gets the start from Eastwood High School at the left guard position. Brandon Smith slides over at center to play his first game starting at the center position. And then for the Miners in the running back game, Joshua Dye playing in place of Ezell Jolly. Dye had 5 rushes for 16 yards today. Nothing too crazy for him on the ground. By the way, J.P. Pickles through the air, 10 of 15, 72 passing yards, and then that was about it for J.P. Pickles. And then also, need to mention this, Trey Goodman, he was one of two, he should have been 2 for 3, but he was one of two, and he had an interception in this game, 27-yard pass in this matchup, but they let Trey Goodman throw the ball 3 times, so different wrinkles today offensively. They threw out all the gadget plays out there for sure, that's no question about it. Kenny Odom was the shining spark of the offense, 8 catches, 70 receiving yards, and he continues to do what he continues to do, and that is be productive offensively. So big shout out to him. Going over to the defensive side of the ball, Kyron Duhon, again, the sensational freshman, he shows up yet again, and this man gets another sack on the season. He now has 5 sacks on the year. Maurice Westmoreland, the leader, at 5.5, but Maurice Westmoreland had a sack in this one as well, Sal. Very impressive by him, but Kyron Duhon, true freshman, 4 tackles, 3 solo today. The sack that was big on a third down play. Maurice Westmoreland coming up big with the sack himself. And in this game, by the way, 3 sacks for the Miners, 5 tackles for losses, and 3 pass breakups on defense.
Yeah, and you love to see it because although the score was what it was and it got away, got out of hand, but you got to see some nice individual plays and some nice teammate style plays as well. Guys being in communication with each other, throughout that first 15 to to 20 minutes or so. And another guy whose name was called a lot today, Corey Chapman. And these are names that you've heard pretty much all year on defense. And I have to give them extreme credit. I wasn't sold on the defense, just, oh, it's a 3-3-5, this and that. But they've made it work. And guys not only are doing their assignments well, but they're kind of overachieving in some aspects, forcing turnovers, forcing third and longs, and making the offense switch up the game plan in some spots. They made and I don't want to mispronounce his name, but the Tennessee quarterback, they made some nice plays early on to kind of make him change his mind and force some bad throws on his part. So you definitely like to see that.
Yeah, you definitely do. I'm totally with you on that, Sal. 915-505-6009. Also, going over to 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, Tristan Penz, Scotty Walden is going to have to do something with special teams. We fence equals weak fence. I like that. UTEP's 2024 bowl game is next week versus the Aggies. Good stuff, Tristan. I like that. Augustine, when the game sucked and the season sucked ass, you guys start talking volleyball, and this whole team is the worst part of the team. No one expected a UTEP win. The only thing that was expected was being ready and competitive, and it was embarrassing. Hashtag minor talk. Let's do this, Sal. Let's take our only timeout of the program. When we come back, we're going to wrap up this conversation. We're going to get ready for the Battle of I-10 for next week, and we're going to turn the page as this shortened, abbreviated edition of Minor Talk will continue next, right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. All right, welcome back. Minor Talk continues. We're presented by Jack in the Box with 15 locations in El Paso, open 365. Jack in the Box is your perfect place before and after every game. That is Jack in the Box. We had it earlier this week. Probably have it to close out this week. That is Jack in the Box here on Minor Talk as we continue. Also, special thanks to our supporting sponsors here on Minor Talk, the Oscarati at the Allstate Agency, the District Pub and Kitchen West, and, of course, Wind Supply El Paso. As we continue, 915-505-6009, as we wind it up here on the program, a couple quotes that I thought were pretty interesting from head coach Scotty Walden. He thought he praised this team. He gave this team a lot of props and everything for what they were able to do. He thought they moved the ball effectively. They just couldn't finish drives. He also said they have to call better plays in the red zone and told the kids that he was proud of the effort and proud of the participation. Hey, before we wind it up here, third set is done. UTEP won it. Let's talk to UTEP Zay after this third set in the 2024 Conference USA Volleyball Championships. Zay, welcome back to the program right now. How did this one happen? It felt like a dominant set here for the Miners.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I mean, the end of set three here, it was all UTEP throughout this one. I mean, it was Madison Hill, the El Dorado graduate, ending this one with a service ace, giving UTEP the 8-point 25-17 win. And, I mean, everything just went right for the Miners, right? They played how we're used to seeing them, you know, dominate kind of. And they were all over the court, making the little plays, and it really showed right now. So an absolutely really, really good way to regroup after that set two loss.
Is Kaya Weaver taking over right now?
You know, Kaya Weaver can take over at any time, and she contributes to the game in such a, I mean, unique way. She's just has great size, great fundamentals, great technique that, I mean, teams are afraid to go at her in the middle. So she's not, you know, dominating per se, but she's doing what she usually does and affecting the game in a really good way.
Awesome stuff, Zay. We'll follow you into the fourth set here. It should be a good one. UTEP up 2-1 here in the semifinal rounds of the Conference USA Volleyball Championships. Great stuff, Zay.
Thanks, guys.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines right now. 915-505-6009. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter next. And 600ESPNElPaso.com. Augustine is joining us here on the phone lines. Augustine, welcome back to the show. What's up, man?
Hey, Adrian. Sal, good afternoon. I just have one question for everybody. Is it so hard to ask just for a competitive game against a top opponent?
It might be against an SEC team like this. It might be in year one like this, where they've underperformed all season long. Really, Augustine, you think back on some of these other games that they've lost to really bad teams, and you also think about some of the games that they squeaked past against some really bad teams. So that's just the reason why. Yeah, it might be too much to ask at this point of the season. Yes.
When is a good time to actually expect
Good question. I mean, good question, right? Because last year was the year where the expectations were a lot higher than this year. But that was, you know, year six of a coaching staff. This is year one. Year two, it's got to be better than this, right? Whatever it looks like, it's got to be better than what we're seeing right now. And it's got to be better than two wins going into the final week of the season.
It has to be, man, because it's you know, a lot of the season you could just replay minor talk. And it would be the same questions over and over and over.
Oh, believe us. We know it.
and you know what's getting tiresome? John Teicher's excuses for everything.
I don't know if he's really making it like excuses and stuff like that. But I hear what you have to say. Just think about having to be in that role, though. I mean, especially in this game, after the third quarter, this game's over, and having to, you know, call it like it's, you know, your team for that final quarter. That's tough, man. I mean, I hear what you're saying in frustration. But he knows it. He's not dumb to that either, and he understands where this team's at as well.
Well, now, the only thing I would really expect the next year is to be competitive, but to open up that offense, not the same plays over and over again. Where are the crossing routes? Where are the five-yard crossings, the ins, the outs? And if you have a trick play, try to not make it so obvious that it's going to be a double pass.
Yeah,
just throwing that out.
I hear you. Well, they threw all the kitchen sink out today, Augustine. Hey, I appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for weighing in. I get your frustrations, and I don't think the excuses are there from whether it's the broadcast team or even the coaching staff to try to, you know, diminish the kind of shortcomings that this team has had. I think Scotty Walden has even accepted a lot of those. I guess critiques, you can call them. But he was saying today how this team has to be better when it comes to play calling in the red zone, and that's on him, Sal. You know, that's on this team here moving forward to figure out how they score more in games. They come off a 45-game point performance and couldn't get anything on the road against, you know, one of the top teams in the country, granted.
Yeah, and that's one of the top defenses in the country. Yes. There's a lot of film out there on what UTEP does. A lot of it is kind of the same. And Tennessee's been one of the better first quarter defenses in all four quarters, right? But first quarter defense is really where they thrive. They were able to sniff out some stuff. And oddly enough, that's when the Miners were kind of at their best. But that's just a team that they're not really going to bend. But if they do bend, they're not going to break. And we got to see that pretty much throughout the whole game. So that's a whole other beast, man. It is a lot to ask, you know, considering how this team has performed. Now, as far as when we can expect the team to perform better, who knows? But I do think it's fair to kind of make that judgment. Second half of next year, you want to see them be not only competitive, but win some of those games. You want to see the competitiveness kick off right away, like in the first six games. See them be competitive out the gate. They may lose, they may win, whatever the case is, but you definitely want to see them have a chance, more chances than they've had this year.
Yeah, and just more competitive games next year. I get it. This is an SEC team next year. The only SEC team they have is Texas, and that's in September. This is one of those rare years where they have to play Nebraska and Tennessee. But by the way, they take home $1.6 million. So, you know, not too many injuries here today. We'll wait and see the status of Skylar Locklear going into next week's game. Maybe the decision to pull him out in the third quarter was also to say, hey, next week is, you know, one of our priorities. We really want to win against New Mexico State, and maybe there's no need to jeopardize anything in terms of his health moving forward because of that reason. So 915-505-6009 as we continue. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, 600ESPNElPaso.com. Next week, Sal, it is the Battle of I-10. The Aggies have won back-to-back years. Granted, those 2 years were Jerry Kill, and those were the, you know, two stellar teams that you saw from the Aggies recently. But three in a row is not something that UTEP fans will want, especially knowing that those are the first three seasons the Aggies are in Conference USA. And as far as the Aggies go, they just came off a win against Middle Tennessee today on the road. They want to finish their season strong. It's not like their coaching staff has assurance going into next year, and Tony Sanchez wants to justify why he's the coach and justify why he's there.
Yeah. And how about this as well, Adrian? UTEP leaving to the Mountain West. Do you want to end on either side? Do you want to continue a win streak if you're New Mexico State and have UTEP go into the Mountain West, you're riding a 4-0 win streak against these guys as they got a quote-unquote promotion. Or if you're UTEP, do you want to snap that and potentially start your winning streak against them before you go out to the Mountain West? There's a lot on the line, man.
And, I agree.
And New Mexico State fans, I understand if you're salty because UTEP got the bid. If it's just based off of wins, I'm on board. You guys get it. But, I mean, just based off of stadiums and I guess, facilities, things aside from just actual winning football games, that goes towards UTEP. So there's a lot on the line, man. Both these teams hate each other. And I know that we were talking about this minor talks ago. I can't remember which episode, but I was saying, yeah, New Mexico State doesn't really feel as heated of a rivalry as it was before. I think New Mexico is more of one. I don't know what the hell I was on, man. Now I'm starting to feel that bad blood again. So I just want a good game.
This game will mean a lot on both sides.
It has to. Yeah, it definitely has to.
JK tweets into the program, "I'm disappointed with the lack of offensive output this entire year. On the other hand, this might be the best minor defense in years. Sad to see their efforts are squandered. The freshmen look good. Excited to see them paired with the newcomers." Joe Chacon, what did everyone expect today? "The first quarter was a win for me. I'm looking forward to the class that's going to be coming in the next year. Have faith. Hashtag reppin' from El Chuco now." No one was expecting to win. I was not expecting this game to be competitive either, Joe Chacon, just, for sure measures. Did I expect for them to put up at least a touchdown? Yes. Yes, not to get shut out like they did. They had opportunities, too. So the turnovers on their side were tough. This is a better team in Tennessee. I get it. But at the same time, for the Miners, just struggling offensively today and the entire season. It's kind of a microcosm of their entire season as well. So I hear what you have to say, Joe Chacon. On to next week for Battle of I-10 for UTEP. Hey, and that's where we're going to leave things here on our program. On to the Battle of I-10 for next week. The Miners have the task of trying to snap a two-game win streak here for the Aggies, and they've got New Mexico State on deck next week. That'll be our season finale for Minor Talk in the football side of things. As far as basketball goes, we're at it three times next week. Next week's going to be very busy for us. We've got three games next week. San Jose State tips it off on Monday in the Bulldog Classic, then Tuesday against Long Beach State. Wednesday, it is a matchup against UNC Greensboro, and that will wrap it up for men's basketball, Sal. Very excited for basketball side of things.
Yeah, everything's right around the corner, and this is kind of my favorite part of the year because you got sports winding down, entering their postseasons. You got some just kicking off, and another thing too, Adrian, not to kind of change the subject, but that top four in Conference USA is looking like it's a lot of fun right now because the top four all play each other next week. And pretty much the guaranteed spot is Jacksonville State. But they will take on, let me make sure I got this here, is it Western Kentucky, who is tied for second place, but Liberty's on top of them. And Liberty takes on Sam Houston. So if you are Western Kentucky, it's win and you're in. If you're Liberty, win, and you got to hope Jacksonville State wins. Or if you're Sam Houston, kind of the same thing as you want for Liberty, but them winning. So there's a lot to look forward to. I know it's not the sexiest thing out there, but
wow.
I'm Conference USA in until 2026.
So, Sal, based on all this right here, there could only be four teams bowl eligible out of Conference USA. And Jacksonville State will need a waiver again because it's that two-year hiatus as they transition from FCS to FBS. Last year, they got the waiver.
Got it, yeah.
This year, they'll probably get it again, knowing there's only four teams who could be eligible out of CUSA, which is terrible right there.
Yeah, not only that, but you could say, hey, we're good for it. You let us in last year after we had a successful season. Now there's a lot more backing behind it, and they're actually on top of the conference as it is.
I'm assuming Sam Houston State will have to do the same.
Wow, that's absolutely true. And guess what? In the next coming years, if Delaware wants to do it, they'll need it. And whoever the hell else is coming
in. Missouri State. That's right. That's
all
exactly
of those guys,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point there, Sal. Hey, this one was brought to you by Jack in the Box. Big shout out to them. Big shout out to UTEP Zay out at Memorial Gym. Alberto Retta, who wasn't with us today, but he was working the UTEP women's basketball game. They got a big win today over New Mexico Highlands. And then special thanks to you, Sal Montes. We'll be back in action on Monday. And for everybody here, you could download, subscribe our podcast, listen to us on demand right now. Check out UTEP Zay's coverage of the 2024 Conference USA Volleyball Championships as we continue. But for Sal Montes, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We're signing off and saying so long. Thanks for listening to Minor Talk here on 600 ESPN El Paso.